You know, I'm raising this from a second thing of the commission because one person made a very, very, not only silly or sexual or imperialistic comment about our own country. That South Africa is a white country with a black head of state. And that comment reflects the reality of the situation of our own country, if we are going to be changed. I want to ask some questions. One, in terms of the legislation that we have, the employment equity, what areas that the commission will see as very critical for the G1? For an example, we established this in MA and it reported that some of its own functions do not give it deep enough to deal with issues. The second one, in terms of the CCMA, what happened that employers saw it fit to use acronyms and also lawyers that are specialists, that are very educated than what you can say people of the same workers, shop stewards, perhaps, and so forth. And that competition also that takes place within the CCMA because of others not yet what are the constraints. The second one, what is the constraint other than monetary in terms of the labor cost? Other than the monetary, because who represents workers that have been changed there in the labor court, and who represents lawyers, and what are the power relations in terms of that? I think that is the second question. In your set that you have provided for us, you always mention one thing when you put the definition. You said black in general and Africans in particular. And then you have tried to really put it. Because there is a national group here in South Africa that always says that I was not black enough in the apartheid government, and I was not white enough in the black government, and I'm not black enough in the black government, vice versa. I was not writing up in the white country. How does that group benefit? Are they equal to the Africans in particular in terms of benefiting to the Employment Equity Act? Or Africans are benefiting more than that national group in terms of the reality of the situation? I'm raising this question because there's mythology that is taking place in the country in terms of making racial, you know, tensions, deliberately so. I'm off dividing the black in general in terms of that particular situation. I'm asking that question deliberately so. I want to go further, Chairperson, on the balance of power. The balance of power in the corporate sector. You raised the issue of tokenism. That is, it was raised yesterday. By the research from the Vets University, that most of the black managers are being policed by white managers. You're a CEO, you're an executive director. You're a CEO. Yeah, you're a CEO, but you're given an executive director that is white, and is given more power than you, and is policing you. What are the constraints? And what could government do to rectify that situation? Those are the few questions that I want to ask from now. Maybe this is the first one. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Dr. Babu Nene.
Thank you, Chairperson. And thank you for the report by the presenter. I may be repeating what the last speaker has been said, but mine is not exactly the question or question comment. But I want to remind the House that we need to speak on the remedy. and it is not to be sent. Because if you are defending, it will mean that you are defeating the aim of this hearing. The person hitting some of us, I think we need to usually visit the establishment or company. But I don't think that one of us will say that this part is coming from this presentation is untrue. Because in the establishment, in most cases, many companies, there's a lot of discrimination of all, not only the discrimination of women or white women, black women, but there's a lot of discrimination even on the disability people. Because in most of the companies, you will find that there's not a single person of disability. Beyond that, there's not even a facility of those people, which shows that these people are not even allowed to visit in most of these companies. So I'm saying that I'm concerning that most of what has been said is quite correct. Chairperson, the issue of maybe white women or white people only in most cases are the majority in all the levels in the company, I think it's going to go further, because you will find that the people who are in the authorities are white. I'm not racist. But with no transformation agenda. Because you will find that even in their employment, you will see that there is no transformation agenda on them. So that is why you will find that this thing will take a time. As the presenter said that we are take more than 10 years trying to implement this, but it's not working. In the company where I was working, so I also sit in the panel of our interview. But because we were enforcing this thing, we were taken out from the panel. Because we need to deal with this thing in a racial demographic. Because the demographic here shows that it is not reflecting the correct demographic in terms of the racial population. So I think there's no question, but I was also commenting that what is reflecting in the report or in the presentation is exactly what is happening on the ground. So I was just cautioning as well that we need not to suspend, but we need to deal with this thing in a reality. And again, I don't think that the presenter should come with a way forward. It is this committee, portfolio committee, which will discuss these matters. After getting this hearing, then we will come with a way forward as the portfolio committee on labor. Thank you.
Thank you, Babu Nene. I'm sure their way forward can also be of assistance to us when dealing with this. But let me, before handing over to Madam Doris,
let me also welcome the presentation by the chairperson and also say that I would like to reserve my comments for the time when we engage with the rest of the commission as the committee so that we are able to make the proper recommendation to Parliament. But just on one issue, chairperson, which is the the public hearing that we had in November by the commission itself, as well the commission does not see that as the justification. And if that is not the case, if perhaps a young president's proposal that we might want to see how communication is done, so that we do not confuse the public later on when we present different reports. And I'm not saying that you know our report must be there, but that we need to find a way of communicating so that our recommendations, both from the Commission and Parliament, are here after the consultation. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I'm not going to waste more time, but those were the comments and the questions from the central
Thank you, Father Abunaba. What I'm going to do, I'm going to ask everybody to deal with the areas around the city and the but just a quick counter comment to Mrs. Rea. You know, Mrs. Rea is just in date. No policy is such fellow in the castle, and yet the facts are not always there. She wants to choose new king and stay with her. And today I actually brought him a business card. But everybody knows that I'm full-time employed to cook and bring it to his head, hang up there. I'm not going to see him doing that. So it is kind of a poor assistant in preparation to come with huge eloquence, which is supposed to mean being sexual. That everybody ends up confusing the time. I think this is very much ready to take this work very seriously. Before she comes here and make all kinds of things.
Madam Chair, on the point of order, please. Maybe before
that's
a point
it.
Of
she must really check the facts.
Can we just hold on a second, Mani? I want you to go straight to the response. Can you just switch off your mic for a while? I want you to go straight to the response, but and not
One of the examples that we cited is I think that some of us around the issue of skills people are open to. I mean, one of the air companies, the airline companies, was told that they can't hire them because they can't swim. When the aeroplane breaks up or something, you fall into the sea, that's what you would consider, and that's why they don't hire. So there's all kinds of frivolous excuses in terms of why black people are not employed. One example that I want to use also around the issue of, because the next question is the issue of the skill of the business. One example which I really think is a very perfect example. If you look at one of the best run companies in the country, Anglo-Bone, it's run by what we call a very competent CEO. And what is Bodyboard? Bodyboard is not a mining engineer. He's not using food HR, he's high art, industrial relations, and yet he's given the opportunity to run the mine. And yet, when you are black, he wants all kinds of things. And tells you what you think you're born with experience. Mm-hmm. So there's all kinds of artificial barriers that get put when a person is. And as to what is it that the government can do and so on, I think government has done a hell of a lot already in terms of this enabling policy and so on. The key issue that really needs to happen from the government side is the strengthening of monetary, not what means to have them. A legislation which is not properly policed is not going to get us anywhere. If one is looking at the example of France, the amount of policing that France is doing has made everybody take the issue of sex offense very seriously. So it's that kind of infrastructure that that the administration of the roadway should have. And up until you have that kind of infrastructure, people will continue to fly below the radar screen and continue to do things that you should not do. This question of black people being not white enough, black enough, and all of this, I think the view that we take is a solution of this matter. Firstly, it's a fact that the applicants don't speak right now, and it is in terms of implementation. But the view we take in terms of how we address it, we don't even go and tag who are disadvantaged more than the other. We can make that case, but we're not making that case. The only case we're making is that people must be represented in terms of their economic active population. Look at that. Africans speak at 74.1%, colored speak at 10%, Indian speak at 3%, and white men speak at 5%. That's the kind of threat that we should have. But instead, you find that instead of finding 74% Africans, you hardly find any in the name of the black people. So all we're asking for is just equity as required by the law. The law requires equitable representation. That means people in line with their economic and active population. That's all that's ready to happen. So we're not arguing today in the act to the commission who was disadvantaged more than the other. We're not making that fighting. Simply saying, let's reflect the EAP. That's what the law requires. And whether there will be publication or not for the public hearings in November, we'll review the position after we see what comes out of the processes here. If the processes here have come up with all kinds of solutions that they were looking for, it may not be necessary to have this public hearing. But this is in the year program of the commission. So we're going to do this public hearing. It is our program. But if we look and see what comes out of the decision, we might not need it. So we'll be guided by the process. So, Honorable Chairperson, if you allow me to ask.
Take the five out of the law and put it in the regulation so that we can make it easy.
for the fans to keep us crazy. Secondly, the level of the fire itself, the market case to Google the fire to see whether can we increase the fire maintenance meaningful so that when the blood does not comply with the eggs and the fire, it will be it's a limited fire. The number of billions companies say that they've got millions and millions of billions in terms of turnover. Therefore, 200 grand of fire is pocket money. It's money that therefore, we need to talk to the commission and agree to look at those issues. The next issue, in terms of the act now, if an employer does not comply with the act and does not submit a report, there's nothing that we can do. The best thing that we can do is to give them a compliance order. The compliance order says that we give you, we say comply with the act. Obviously, the employer will comply with the act. Now, if the employer was supposed to report on the 1st of October, and then find out in March that the employer has not submitted a report on the 1st of October, you can't go to the labor court and say this employer has not complied with the law. You've got to give them a complaint or that requires them to comply. Now, we wanted the report on the 1st of October. For them complying in March or in June, shall not help us. And the DG can only go to the labor court to enforce that compliance order. The DG does not have authority to say, well, if you don't comply, I'm going to give a fine for not complying, for not submitting your report to the shoulder. Give the fine number. The DG can only do the compliance order. And then can only go to court to enforce that order, that compliance order. And the compliance order, the way it's compliant, means comply. It says to them, we ask you to comply with your law. And if you fail to comply, if then the court will give you a fine. Not so. The court won't give you a fine not for the boss, it will give you a fine for not complying with the command order. That's the challenge that we need to do. The DG should be able to be fine. If an employer was supposed to report on the court of then the employer has not reported on the court of why do we have to give the employer a command order? So that's what you like, that is where I'm coming to. The next issue is the issue around which you approach the court. There's a case that we need to bring up on the whole approach to court when we can only go to court to enforce the compliance order. We should be able to go to court to, if the company really disregards or a company that something that is very weak against the act. We should not be compared to issue compliance order. The DG should be given authority to decide whether to issue compliance order in this case or whether to go directly to the court. The DG should do this. But the law in this case says go issue compliance order. The next issue that was asked was the issue about the power relations between the parties and the issue of rulers and the workers. At this stage now, if you've got money from your employer, if you're a union member, you can represent it by the union, or the union will come to the position. If you are not a union member, you don't have the money, and you have to keep yourself to come. That's where the problem comes in. That's why we argue that possibly association should be given more authority to deal with it.
Also the Black Management Forum, which is concerned about the inability of the CCMA to send the practice of to convert discrimination at work through serious rulings against discrimination and the continuing trigger of the CCMA.
by most employers, which has affected the confidence of many victims of unfair discrimination in the CCMA as a forum that can assist. But we are going to be really looking at this issue. Can I switch over to Mr. J. Nicole? She is a follower.
Thank you. No, thank you very much, President. No, I just want to thank the responses. I read the follow-up. It's on the report from companies. And in your report, you said when you were dealing with the trends analysis that you are concentrating mostly on large companies. And the Secretary made an example about that. If you look at the ads in television, print media, about not paying for a TV license and also about not complying with SAR, you can listen to the talk. And you know that they are in danger of doing that. That is why South Africans are complying. Because they know that they don't want to go to jail for their colleagues. But in terms of the compliance with submission of the report is not primitive, it's voluntary, and so forth. Are there any areas of constraint in terms of that? And what could be a possible thing to be done to deal with that specific question? That is the first one on compliance. The second one on the reports themselves. Who verifies this report? Whether this report is not cut and paste, whether this report is not a true reflection of the situation, whether these reports are being submitted for public relations purposes or so forth, who monitors the situation? Whether that is a reflection of the reality? Whether people are put in those positions for purposes of reports and tomorrow something has happened in that particular company? So who does that? And who monitors the process in those particular companies? The third question is on the shortcomings. What are the shortcomings in relation to the implementation of both the employment equity and the broad-based black economic empowerment, particularly in the intention of supporting the national goals of the transformation agenda in the country? Well, what do you think are the details?
What are you saying about this? up to his committee after that. And then put the politics as well. And also consider some of the communication for the assembly. What I'm afraid is if we continue to make comments, it will be counter comments. And then what happens? So I propose that why can't we focus on clearing the questions and questions? And then from there, the rest will be the same. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. I think that on the issue of reporting and people not reporting and what do we do about that, that's exactly the kind of thing that Tim was talking about. That the weakness in the act, in terms of reacting to that, the act is very true. He wanted to say that what happens if you do something wrong, like not reporting, what then happens is that even if the inspector knows that you're not reporting, the process to take you to justice is just too long and drawn out. So we've made the recommendations already in the commission that will be handing over to the minister to say what is it that we think needs to happen to speed up the issue of penalties for people that are just willfully defying the law. So that process is there among the whole set of recommendations. The things that the Tembo is talking about. A piece of work that we've just done in the commission, which we've just, I think this thing could be any more than it is, to say what are the flaws that we're seeing within this law that needs to be corrected, or some of the things that we're talking about, not to look at. So that is top of our agenda. Who verifies the report? What happens is we just get the report from companies to see who signs the report. One of the fundamental issues about this is that if the CEO only that time, not the HR director or anything. Now, if we were to find that the CEO, for whatever reason, he has signed a report and issued a decision, then in court cases can be opened against us because that would be a clear area of misrepresentation if we were to find that. But again, the issue of capacity to monitor is the issue that we are talking to the commission. Say what if you didn't do those kinds of checks, the capacity to monitor means the serious issue, the kind of staff that the directorate has and the number of people that we have is never going to be enough. We really need to keep up the issue of monitoring. Shortcoming on EE versus DE. There's been a lot of discussions between the Department of Labor and the CI to make sure that especially as it relates to employment equity, that has been converted into equity. One of the things is that whereas the DCI has a target and so on, if however we have not reached the economic effective population, we don't get bonus points that we otherwise get, and that kind of thing. So there's been a lot of confluence, a lot of talking, a lot of making sure that talking to us, and as a commission we are happy that they think that there is a lot of consensus between the two. And then the one point the honourable member that one must make is that one of the challenges that we find in employment equity is where the the tendency is to want to lump everything into a problem. I would like to advise that the government is broad. All issues of poverty and poverty are the issues, and the ministers of Australia deal with that. All issues of education can be referred to Minister Pani. Now, in trying to, and we have to say, then all issues of criminality can be referred to Minister Charles Mahmoud. Now, what tends to happen is that people just tend to want to clap and lump everything. Employment equity must now
controls everything. It cannot do that. We just need to make it very clear that this act is a workplace-based act. Nothing doesn't operate anywhere else. It simply operates on a workplace. And given it a workplace, there are certain employers that are designated, there are others that are not designated. Some are short, are not part of it. It's a very specific act. So welcome that we will discuss this act. This is really understand that the context is a workplace of designated employers.
Thank you. Thank you,
know that this act is a topic of consultation of both labor and women. Now, on the issue of monitoring, when the act was agreed on and promulgated, it was believed that labor would pay back. That's why the issue of consultation is in the act. Now, when the company gives a report, the CEO has got to ensure that they've contacted with the debt service. We hope then that the labor will be able to inform the inspector of the department that this is the current state, this is not what is the real senior number. Now, COSATO and possibly other federation will be given presentation in this committee, possibly come up with more light in terms of their involvement as labor in ensuring that the economy was always a stakeholder that reported themselves. They will be able to say what the company is saying is not correct because this is the correct information. We look at the report that we need to do is not what it should be.
Thank you very much, Babu Khaliti. It was very, made very clear to us members. Workplace Safe Act. I'm sure it is very clear to us, and we knew very well about it. That it intends to eradicate and fair discrimination in employment and make provision for corrective measures. That is why today we are having this public hearing, because the act is talking about workplace discrimination. And this is our duty as a portfolio committee, our responsibility to provide oversight and ensuring the compliance with key labor legislation. So therefore we are saying to the thank you, and thank you for the report you presented to us. I'm sure after this public hearing, we are going to be having a way forward, like we were saying, to search about it. If we need to again call you in when waiting on the report, we will do so, and I'm sure you will be able to avail yourself to the committee. Thank you very much, and without wasting any more time, as we are going to try by this time to ask the presenter for BMF, the Black Management Forum.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and honorable members of the Committee. My name is Nalem, I'm the managing director of the Management Forum. With me here, we will be speaking on behalf of the organization with our deputy president, Nonsen Kumuku. And I think it's important for me to say that we ask our members to give our candidates as far as the opportunity of raising the map on the United States. And this is a part of the commission that we deserve. And to protect them, I think it's about their names and the names of the company. But some of them are prepared to say who they are as far as so this is submission for the committee to let a look and make a better meeting. I think without waste of time, I think I'll ask our deputy president to make a submission. We won't read the whole document. I would think that our submission has found itself on the media. So pretty much people are pretty much aware what we're all about. But we'll highlight the point that I think are crucial for the input that we'll be taking by the court.
Thank you, Mario. I'd just like to speak my name again. My name is Nomche Nkun. Honorable Chairperson, honorable members of the Portfolio Commission. Can you just get my a little bit closer to you? The Black Management Forum is a thought leadership organization which has, amongst others, taken interest in socio-economic transformation of our country. In pursuit of socio-economic justice, fairness, and equity, the BMF will continue to be vocal on these aforementioned matters and has been putting corporate South Africa in check and encouraging participation of the broader South African stakeholders. The BMF, with its more than three decades of credentials and expertise on the transformation landscape, has often offered to assist our governments, parastatals, and private sector companies. Madam Chair, the BMF salutes the Parliamentary Portfolio Committee on Labour for providing the nation with another opportunity to submit its views on the state of the employment equity in our country. We as the BMF can state without any fear of being accused of arrogance or self-aggrandizement that we have always been at the forefront of the struggle for the empowerment of blacks in the workplace. This struggle saw us leading the affirmative action debate in the early 1990s through an affirmative action commission, culminating in the release of the Affirmative Action Commission. For the Affirmative Action Blueprint in 1993. This was an independent non-statutory commission that was set up by the BMF and it produced, among others, what was later to be known as the Basutoharp Formula, and that was for affirmative action targets. Worryingly today, 13 years since the commission released its recommendations, corporate South Africa is still nowhere near the targets for affirmative action that is suggested by the Affirmative Action Blueprint by the BMF in 1993. For instance, 20% of executive directors should have been black by the year 2000, 30% of senior managers, 40% of middle managers, and 50% of junior managers and professionals. On the matter of employment equity, the BMF went on to play a central role in the drafting and the subsequent legislation of what later became known as the Employment Equity Act. In an unprecedented move, the BMF was given a special seat at NADLAC during the negotiation on the Employment Equity Goal in 1998, and it provided some significant input in the drafting of the Employment Equity Act. Not only did this play a role in the negotiations from the other side, but the Director for Employment Equity in the department at that crucial time was himself a BMF graduate, so to speak, and a committed transformation activist, which is a tribute to the skill and expertise that the BMF had developed. Regarding the matter of disrespect for the rule of law, there is a widespread lack of compliance by the companies to the Employment Equity Act, and these, the honorable members have heard earlier on. It should therefore make logical sense that more companies are taken to court for contravening the laws of the country. It therefore defies logic that we hardly hear of cases in the labor court reflecting challenge and progress by government to ensure that the laws of these countries are respected and implemented. The employment equity inspectorate within the Department of Labor should strengthen its monitoring capacity, and this has been heard earlier on as well. Our members responsible for HR functions, Madam Chair, within companies have told the stories of how inadequate these inspectors are in dealing with matters of employment equity, and their inability and specifically engaged with the numerous HR policies. There is a need for an urgent review of the quality and powers of these inspectors. On the matter of black economic empowerment, it was again the BNF that realized the need for a more broad-based approach to affirmative action, and which facilitated the establishment of the Black Economic Empowerment Commission, better known as the BE Corp. The BE Commission arose after the BNF resolution calling for such a commission in 1997. The commission's report of 2001 went a long way in reshaping the Black Economic Empowerment landscape. Most of its recommendations ended up being endorsed by the government in its broad-based Black Economic Policy of the Department of Trade and Industry. The ground has now shifted in the employment equity debate, and there is a need for some serious review of what still entails and how it fits into the broad-based Black Economic Empowerment Scorecard, the various broad-based Black Economic Charters, and the new broad-based Black Economic Code. Madam Chair, Honourable Members, in 2005, the BMF submitted to the Labour Portfolio Committee that, and I quote, "It is futile to submit for the Parliamentary Committee, Portfolio Committee, to debate employment equity in isolation from all other latter developments, which have, to a very large extent, absorbed employment equity within their approach, while taking precedence over it. Most of the broad-based economic empowerment charters, for instance, have got targets that they set for employment equity, amongst others, that all companies in that respective sector need to meet. Due to the significance of the broad-based economic empowerment scorecard and the related BE code for tenders in large private sector contracts, most employers are now more concerned about charter requirements for employment equity than their own employment equity claims. Employment Equity Act, its plans, reports, and compliance processes. It is in this context that this debate needs to take place. We reiterate our previous submission to the Portfolio Committee to please investigate ways in which the broad economic empowerment processes can be used to stimulate and reignite the employment equity process and targets. Our recommendations, therefore, take place in the RAF context. Madam Chair, the Codes of Good Practice were promulgated in December 2006. We are here today at the invitation of the Parliamentary Portfolio Committee on Labour once again to submit on racism in the workplace, and the situation in our workplaces has worsened. We are concerned and disturbed about the slow pace of transformation in corporate South Africa, and in particular, the painful neglect and non-compliance on employment equity and its affirmative action processes in business and other institutions in our country. Black economic empowerment participants say there is a need to put more focus on the black investors who are acquiring equity in companies through black economic empowerment transactions. These BE shareholders cannot escape the responsibility of ensuring that economic citizenship for black people is realized. These black shareholders, in spite of the fact that they classify themselves as business people, that happen to be black on BE grouping, should know that there are high expectations that they have to bring transformation to those companies. The percentages of equity ownership by black people in those companies should reflect change or transformation. Therefore, the higher the black ownership in the higher the change expectations in the workplace. The operational involvement and value add of the black equity owners must be put into question. Furthermore, the lack of contribution to the transformation agenda by black companies leaves much to be desired. In fact, they are used to rubber stamp and perpetuate the status quo. the majority of them can be classified as co-opted policies. Madam Chair, members of the Portfolio Committee, in the interest of time, I shall go, jump page 5, 6, those who have copies of our presentation, and page 7. Those matters deal with the various pieces of legislation in our country that affect our submission, and therefore it is for general release. Thank you very much for your understanding in this matter. The Black Management Forum would like to recommend as follows, Madam Chair. The BMF welcomes the review of the overlap of mandates of the institutions that enforce Section 9 of the Bill of Rights. This is on page 8 if you got lost. Thank you. The second recommendation is the renewed campaign and drive to enforce employment equity compliance under the supervision of the Department of Labor. This should be a partnership initiative between the Department, organized labor, black business, and interest group organizations to work together to identify and to eliminate all instances of unfair discrimination in South Africa, whilst enforcing compliance with the Employment Act. A 24-month campaign with various roles for the different stakeholders is recommended. And in fact, we've seen this in our midst, in our country, but this issue is not enough. We still need to call for this 24-month campaign. The link between the new Black Economic Empowerment Enforcement mechanisms of the Department of Trade and Industry and the Employment Equity Inspectorate. This should include the extension of the roles and responsibilities of the BEE rating agencies as contemplated in Statement 050 of the Broad-Based Black Economic Code of Good Practice, promulgated in December 2004, to also conduct inspections on compliance with the various provisions of the Employment Equity Act. The BEE certification process ends in Section 54 of the Employment Equity Act now overlaps with the issuing of compliance certificates, and we've heard from the EE Commission on those certificates, which the BEE policy and codes have conferred on BEE rating agencies. The latter will also be fully monitored and accredited by the South African National Accreditation System, SANAD, which is part of the Department of Trade and Industry. There is therefore a vote in quality assurance systems, including various rigorous standards for accreditation. The Black Management Forum believes that an integrated approach should be adopted rather than to have various certificates issued on the same employment equity and other related components. BMF also recommends a forum through which the DCI and other government departments, where prospective Black directors, managers, and employees in general who are approached by white firms to enter into BEE deals, be provided with state-of-the-art advice, thus avoiding the rampant fronting by companies. The BMF is inundated, Madam Chair, with complaints of this nature. Another recommendation, Madam Chair, the use of accredited rating agencies to conduct employment equity inspections will also immediately alleviate the capacity problems of the Department of Labor in terms of the quantity and the quality of its inspectorate, while costing the state nothing. Very importantly, companies will pay for the services of the ratings agencies like they pay for auditing services. We further recommend the review of Section 10 of the Employment Equity Act and a consideration for allowing class action lawsuits so that dealing with discrimination ceases to be an individual grievance issue. This will entail the establishment of a common approach between the Promotion of Equality and Prevention of Unfair Discrimination Act and the Employment Equity Act, particularly the equality clause of the former. This recommendation is consistent with the recommendations in the 4.2 of our recommendations and 4.3. Because the Human Rights Commission and the Department of Justice are the custodians of the Promotion and Equality and Prevention of Unfair Discrimination Act and the Equality Code. Madam Chair, we also recommend that we would like to say the time has come for our call of 2005 to be implemented. The call that says The setting up of a commission of inquiry into racism and other forms of unfair discrimination in South Africa. This commission should be given a one-year mandate to review incidents and cases of racial discrimination in the workplace and the extent to which black, women, and people with disabilities have been advanced, or shall I say, not advanced in employment. This commission of inquiry should also look at all the so-called high-level professions and occupations in South Africa. Such an inquiry is necessary in order for the country to establish a proactive manner the extent of progress or lack thereof in the diversification of the South African workforce, and also the elimination of discrimination and the advancement of designated groups into all levels and professions of the economy, especially in 13 years of democracy. Madam Chair, the VMF would like to reiterate its call on the establishment of the Commission of Inquiry recommended above. Should also collect or call to be collected valid and reliable statistics, demographic profiles in all the major sectors of the economy. We propose that the Commission be appointed by the President and be given power to subpoena and summon institutions and individuals. The Commission should also have the power to reprimand in cases of violation. Madam Chair, Honourable Madam Chair, and Honourable members of the Portfolio Committee, in conclusion, the VMF says, in South African workplaces today, we have observed a number of revealing situations. Namely, the pace of change being very slow is not by mistake, but by design. The VMF believes there are lots of consequences to this slowness that needs to be investigated. There is an enormous underutilization of black skills and talent in corporate South Africa today. In fact, underutilization of black talent is a reflection of subtle racism in the workplace. And we've heard previously of this sophisticated way of racism in the corporate sector in particular. The matter further complicates as the new black entrant skills are not nurtured in the workplace due to companies who have made the maximization of profits their focal point. Madam Chair, Honourable Members, we thank the Parliament's Portfolio Committee on Labour for giving us this opportunity. Lastly, Madam Chair, as my colleague has said, the Managing Director of the VMF, we've got the pile of evidence, of stories, some of them very painful. Some of them, we know them. We all have been through them. But we get this day in and day out. And we are inundated with this. And there are more. It's just that we can't carry the whole office here. Madam Chair, thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Mayor Hoche. That was the Deputy President of the BMF. The presentation together with the recommendation to establish a commission of inquiry, the commission that should also have the power to recommend action in cases of violation. Members, I'm going to open for comments, clarity, questions. Mabum Kondi?
No, thank you very much, President. That gave me some two questions. I want to send first the presentation from VMF. One, you spoke about skills in a conclusion, and I was interested in an understanding, in your understanding of the skills development successes in the country in relation to the gatekeeping of blacks to enter the labor force. Do you think our skills development agenda for this course is successful, but the problem is that there is a direct change somewhere that makes these new entrants not too able to be there? That is the first one. The second one, you have made recommendations on the processes of making the Employment Equity Act working to structure justice, many struggles, there are many things that they face. Is this a direct disagreement to what the commission has been reporting here? Because if you have listened to the commission, they say that there are difficulties in terms of accessing courts and how courts are. Their recommendation was that strengthen CCMA and make sure that CCMA works. So don't you see direct conflict in terms of your own recommendation and their recommendation? The last one recommends the commission of inquiry. Does that suggest that the commission of employment equity is lacking substance, is lacking teeth, you know, is lacking in its own mandate in terms of doing the very same thing that you are saying the commission of inquiry can do? Because even the commission of inquiry is nominated by, is appointed by the minister, but the minister is doing that on behalf of the nation, so it's a behalf of the citizens. So what could be the relationship between your proposal and the existence of the commission on employment equity? Thank you.
Thank you, Chairman. Let me also welcome the presentation by BMS and I say that I'm very happy to see that from those days of the Articlehead, the BMS has been very strong to push for transformation. I was a young boy on the mind those days, and some of us were taught by those workshops and conducted throughout the country. And I'm very happy about that. But just to say that I know that the BMS is very strong to say that this issue about the lack of skills in the country is exacerbated. That there are black people all over the country that can be able to enter these levels, given the opportunity. Have they done any audit in that regard? Just to say that there are people that, given the opportunity, they can be able to be taken up in those positions. Thank you.
Thank you. Madam Chair, yes, thank you. I want to ask a question based on two examples of spectacular successes of black businesses that even started during the repressive days of the apartheid law. The one is I'm thinking of a really very strong example of black entrepreneurship, the Combi Taxi, the business of Combi Taxi. They just developed out of seemingly nothing, and today there's a Combi Taxi on every corner that you can catch to every destination that you want to go to. It's really such a big success story, and I think that since they held up as a positive role model. There are others as well. I'm just thinking off the top of my head of the Black Lives Matter game and other cosmetic products, which seems to have really taken off in a very, very big way, and business has made a lot of money for its owners. And now, what can we use these examples of as positive role models and see what have they done right? What did they do to achieve these successes? And is there anything that can be used to emulate, to follow for other people? These people have surely made a huge contribution to the economy. They've injected capital into the economy, and they're employing up to thousands, tens of thousands of people across the country. Thank you very much, Ruth, for the session for now. Over to you, Madam.
Thank you, Madam Chair. We have a division of labor here, that's why we all came, so we'll just answer these questions in turn. On the first question of skills and gatekeeping in relation to the corporate environment, the BMF fully supports the JITSA initiative. And from that perspective, we are putting in our side in terms of encouraging that teaching be realized in the country. However, it is evident that gatekeeping happens, and it still continues to happen today in many forms in the corporate sector, be it on gender, on race, on class, and also particularly in senior management positions. Therefore, we do not see a contradiction in terms of what you're saying and what the Employment Equity Commission said. The second point on the issues of the structures in the justice system, I think I need to take that point. Okay. The justice system, yes, you've heard also that there's difficulties in many people in the workplace to access the justice system, and the CMA being asked the recommendation from the Employment Equity that arbitration be given arbitration powers. We see these processes as complementary. We don't see them as in conflict with one another because people enter the justice system at various levels depending on their means and also their exposure and level of literacy, if you wish, and affluence. So once again, we don't see a contradiction in us calling for the structures to work with the Employment Equity Commission in doing this. The matter on the commission inquiry technical capacity, I think our recommendation is quite clear, especially in the area of BEE, that employment ratings agencies be used in the same way auditing services are used in the country in terms of financial discipline and financial reporting. And we therefore are saying that shouldn't be a cost to government. It should be a cost to the company when that has happened. And those three questions I think I've dealt with, and the next one I will take.
Yeah, I think from our database of the Pay Management Forum, we have people who have commented to these groups and companies in Cali. They see them, they know them. But on an average, I think that people are about 2 or 3 levels lower than where they should be performing. What is happening in the workplace? Workplace, actually, management or leadership within the workplace is basically not giving the people an opportunity to assume those responsibilities that we view as key and critical to the operations of a particular company. They don't have the opportunity to have a profit and loss responsibility. Then people are given menial jobs like corporate affairs, like government relations, and all these type of portfolios. So our point is that we have enough talent in this country, but black talent is underutilized. All we want to see happening for black people to be given opportunity. And again, we should not basically be punitive in terms of making sure people have formal qualifications. People can have experience and be able to rise to the occasion. And then they must be given them the support to be able to do that. I think on the issue of there are lots of successful black businesses, I think it's a key thing that the stereotype of thinking that black people, they are pushed to be taxi operators. And they must run these products, head products or something like that. I mean, we are more than capable of doing that. Okay? We are more than capable of running the economy of this country. All we want is to be given opportunity to be able to do that. I found the comments today, to be honest, to be more patronizing than anything, to be honest. Yeah.
Thank you very much. I must acknowledge the presence of the DDG. You're welcome. I wonder if from the department side again you'd want to say something before we break for tea. I hope it's really out there. We usually take it together for tea, but we'll still use them for tea. But let me go to the present thing. Madam Chair, yes, just a very brief follow-up to the previous speaker from the Black Management Board. Very sorry to hear that you took my remarks as being patronized. I did not make my words at all. And you just remarked that very sorry. I later Jewish dogmas that just became the topic of hate. And I know there are many hundreds of them. These are maybe two of the most popular. And it's an example of this is a shock. A person running a tax shop says it's an example of these two businesses that he managed extremely well in this example. And that could be held up to the inspiration to others. That's what it really seems to be. Discrimination at work exists in organizations are still reluctant to implement employment equity criteria when recruiting or selecting, hiring, promoting and training. Now, as a result, black people, women, with the exception of white women and the disabled, continue to be the most marginalized at senior and middle management level. That is why we are saying all these chief stakeholders should guide us, and we need to get their views on this, so that at the end of everything, or the end of this exercise, we should be able to can pronounce or come up with a recommendation. But I don't want to influence that measure, but rather to say I hope the commission of gender equity is here already, but can we just not hear it? I don't know what is happening. I'm just hoping that they are not withdrawing from this. Like those who are withdrawing, I don't know if there is something that is scaring the stakeholders of these companies or whatever to withdraw. But we are going to make sure that we do make a follow-up on all the submissions received or stakeholders which are invited to come and give us a picture on the very matter. Can we just break for 5 minutes?
Yeah,
held up they are ready to meet, but we are not ready to meet for them. Our main organization, such as the consultant, will be the last one to choose this project for Wednesday. Then we will interview the individual. We thought we could, from the individual submission, we could see those who are here, those who are within the province. Because majority of submissions from this province and Gauteng. And of course we then, when rounding up with our presentation or public hearings, we are going to be looking at going to two or three provinces. Or maybe those who submitted that could be but we want to thank you very much for the presenters, representatives from our BNF, also from the Department Commission of Employment. We are expecting lunch to be here at quarter to 12 or 12. I think this is the end of our training. meeting. Just to remind members about tomorrow. Yeah, no, I would rather leave it out. But thank you very much for coming.
Jay, just a question in terms of the program. You said next week on Wednesday we'll have the Kutsatu. On Tuesday, could you give us an indication of who will be the major presenters?
I was trying to one of them, South African Human Rights Commission. My students are not on, I don't know where it is, on Tuesday. The Human Rights Commission. And the last one will be for Kotaku, Solidarity, and the Department of Public Service and Administration. She remember that we have inside of government, the department she's coming to them. And we are still awaiting for Sangha, because Sangha just give us the picture. We are not going to concentrate outside and leave our house out, not knowing what is happening within our own house. So, we are trying to practice everyone. But thank you very much for this.
I'm passionate about this. I just want to make an announcement. Those who are interested, now the process is to wrap up the children's amendment here. And today the Department of Labor is presenting now in committee room 390 place on the question of child labor. If so, those are interested, they can go there. And then that announcement.
Thank you about the announcement. Please avail yourself. That was the Human Rights on the 11th. Next week should be the Human Rights Business Unity and Women's Paralytic Unit. Then Wednesday, BPSA Solidarity Kusa. And between the two days, I'm sure you're going to take one or two submissions from individuals, or we'll see how it is, because we have so many people who wanted to come and do the oral submissions, but we couldn't accommodate them all. Thank you very much, and can you please assist yourself with some finger lights outside?